Welcome to this podcast extra from KUOW Speakers Forum. I'm your host, John O'Brien. In this episode, actor and comedian Lauren Weedman got her start in Seattle theater. She returned recently to Town Hall Seattle to chat with The Strangers, Dan Savage, about her subsequent work and life. Thanks to Anna Tatashev for our recording. In this excerpt, Weedman reads from her new book, Misfortune, Fresh Perspectives on Having It All from Someone Who Is Not Okay. You can hear the full conversation on our website, kuow.org/speakersforum. Please note, this recording contains unedited language of an adult nature.
During my first appointment with my gynecologist, Dr. Addis, he told me that he was required by law to ask if I'd like a nurse present during the exam. Are you going to molest me? I asked him. Without missing a beat, he told me that he wouldn't, at least not this time. Our Abbott and Costello, if Abbott was on his back and Costello had a glove covered in KY jelly and was inserting a finger up Abbott's ass, relationship, which has developed over the years, would be considered by many women to be in poor taste. But I love it. His office is in Beverly Hills, so what do you expect? When my dirty artist friends shake their socialist fists at me for getting pap smears on Rodeo Drive, I tell them it's the best place to get the diamonds that line the inside of my vagina shined. A service that Planned Parenthood Clinic in Van Nuys, where I used to go, doesn't provide. Finally, after 10 years of Dr. Addis ending every exam with, okay, see you next year, and don't forget, have a baby, I get to tell Dr. Addis the news he's been waiting for. I'm preggers. He bounces on his toes and claps his hands like an excited little birthday girl and starts high-fiving me. Yay, 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 we're having a baby. Oh, I can't believe it. It's a far bigger reaction than David's had been. David's my baby daddy, which makes sense because my having a baby puts money in Dr. Addis's pocket and takes it out of David's. Poor David. At hearing my home pee test results, David had eaten an entire log of Vermont goat cheese, and then he lay on the bed just itching his face all night long. Somehow, no matter how many times I've explained my situation, Dr. Addis never remembers that I'm in a relationship. So his high fives were followed with his feminist support of me going it alone. Good for you. Good for you. You don't need no stinking man, right? No, we don't need no stinking man. He keeps repeating the stinking to get his Mexican accent right when I have to tell him, again, I have a man. It's an easy thing to forget since I usually come alone to preserve our precious one-on-one time, Dr. Addis and I. I've never had a baby, so my main question for Dr. Addis is if there's anything I should be doing to prepare myself, like eating cotton balls and feathers to create a nest in my stomach. So, how old are you now? The good doctor puts on a big show of not believing that I'm 40. No way, 40, no, you're 27. He picks up my chart and makes a wowza face. Hey, you are 40. Well, that's okay. No huge thing. Just a higher chance of Down syndrome and miscarriage. And hey, is your underwear off? It is. Ah, where were girls like you when I was 16? Ah. He uses the same joke every year. We'll talk more about babies after I do the breast exam. I open my gown with a where's my beads Mardi Gras joke. I get nothing. In fact, I may have upset him. Usually, he jumps right into kneading and poking around with a steady stream of chatter intended to distract me from the, hey, that guy's touching my boob feeling. But today, he just stares at my chest, lets out a long, sad sigh, and says, ah, sucks to get old, huh? Oh, God. That part is memoir. And then he's like, yeah, I'm not having an easy time with it. You know, you want to think you've done something with your life, you know, but how do you really know? My naked breasts have inspired a lot of different reactions over the years, but this is a first. The other day, I realized that, geez, when my son is 30, I'm going to be 76 if I'm lucky, right? You know, and I want to be there to see his life. That's all you hope for, just to be able to be there as long as you can. And, okay, feels normal in there. Let's check out her sister over here. It wasn't uncommon for him to wander into tricky topics for patient-doctor relations land, but knowing he loved expensive German cars, hated Obama, and dined with NRA-loving celebrities was tolerable compared to this existential hell he was pushing me into. I try to change the subject and ask him if McCain is a nice man in person, but he doesn't hear me and he switches right over to my right breast. Yeah, you know what's funny about me? I know I'm gonna die, you know? I get it. That's why babies are born crying. Because they get it too. At the end of the exam, he snaps off his rubber gloves. I can't believe we're having a baby. And he tells me to start taking prenatal vitamins. Before I got pregnant, I'd see a child and I'd think, welcome to the earth, little spirit. Enjoy your journey. And what are you here to teach us? And then I'd throw sand on their feet to make them grow. Well, now that I'm pregnant, I see a baby and I think, oh my God, his head is so flat. Kids are freaking me out, and so are the ones who make their heads flat, the mothers. People keep assuming that I'm going to be this wacky mom type. They're assuming that my whole, I'm an asshole, who can't do anything right, is real, and I'm going to play that shtick right into motherhood. But that's not really me. Yet when it comes to that, what kind of mother I'll be, I have no idea. Will I be the mother who relishes the bond with my child to such an intense degree that I refuse to stop breastfeeding in public or even on airplanes after the child unlatches himself to ask a flight attendant, hey, can I get a Pepsi with this? The whole can, thanks. Will I be the mother who's so sensitive and attuned to her baby's needs that instead of diapers, I just wait for that certain twinkle in the eye to tell me it's time to hold her over the sink so she can pee? Or will I be the 50s-style martini-drinking mother? The only reason I'm not holding my baby is because a pamphlet I read told me not to. Now hand me the olives. Oh, babies are fun. Don't get too deep about it. My sister Emily has just arrived from Indiana with my teenage niece, Caitlin. They've never been to Los Angeles, and they're hoping to see the big attractions like Tori Spelling. Emily has two kids and is now a single mother. I've admired her tenacity as she's gotten out of a bad marriage, and she dedicates herself to her kids. At the moment, both Emily and Caitlin are trying to convince me that having a baby is no big deal. I ask Caitlin how she can know this at 15, and she tells me she's seen every episode of I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant. Basically, you're just going to be standing in line at the bank thinking, man, I got to take a BM, and then the next thing you know, you got a baby in your sweatpants. Okay, so sure, childbirthing, outside of the money it would take to pay for the cleanup, is a breeze, but what about all the years after that? The birth was not my worry. It was everything else after that. See, why did I say after that twice like that? Like it should be, you know what I mean? I do that when you're reading. After that. After that, where are the editors? Okay. And you'll tell me when I've gone too long, or how do you know?
Pardon?
How do I know when it's done?
When you get to the end of the book.
Shut up. Should I just read one more page, you think?
Yeah, read one
okay,
more page.
Okay, one page, okay. Do I have any sense of self or my own thing? I'm just like, what do you think I should do? Should I sit like this? Is this bad? Okay. All right. Okay. The birth was not my worry. It was everything else after that.
See, the trick is as you read aloud from your own book and you see the mistakes, you don't read the mistakes out loud. You correct as you go.
Oh, right, right.
And then these people will buy your book thinking you're a smarter, better writer than you actually are.
Oh, God.
That's what I do.
Well, I blew that one, didn't I? Okay. Because I'm sitting there just like, Jesus, it goes on and so repetitive. Like, oh, but everybody. Big font, though. Okay. I don't know the job. After that. Okay. Birth is not my worry. After that. Jack would be long gone. Jack is, he still is my teenage stepson. Jack would be long gone by the time this kid was old enough to talk. The kid would only have only elderly parents to entertain him, no brothers or sisters. But maybe that wasn't so bad. I have only two older sisters, Emily and Joyce, yet whenever I go home for holiday dinners at my parents' condo, it still feels like a mob scene. This is exactly how my parents like it to feel, too. They tried to use the old, well, I'm tired of mowing the lawn excuse when they sold the two-story, four-bedroom colonial home he grew up in. Lawn care had nothing to do with it. Their dream retirement home was one that was just big enough for the two of them. Well, we're out of chairs. Guess you better go home. It's so true. My parents love their cozy retirement condo. It's bright and sunny, and it smells like dogs, vodka, and dusty Christmas candles. Nothing like the house I grew up in. The house I grew up in smelled like dried cat shit, microwaved Weight Watchers ravioli, and my middle sister, Joyce. My gritty sibling childhood memories all involve Joyce. Emily, with her long straight hair, like a red-haired Cher, tossed her cheerleading pom-poms in the back of her little yellow Datsun and took off to join a sorority, leaving me behind with Joyce, a.k.a. the mean one. My best friend in third grade would take one step into my house and start sniffing the air like a dog. She was picking up the scent of Merle Norman's ice blue eyeshadow mixed with stamp collecting and cystic acne cream. Joyce is here, isn't she? Before I could answer, she'd suggest we play in the street where it was safe. She didn't want to witness the jail cell violence that went on between my older sister and me because it was ugly and raw, and because the warden, who should have broken it up, was an 89-pound ex-ballerina. My mother would sit licking rice crackers as my sister pinned my face down with her knee in the family room. Joyce would wait until my mouth was wide open, screaming into the carpet, and then she'd tell me, "Right where your mouth is where the dog threw up last night. That's why it's still damp." And then she'd rug burn my face. That's that end of that one page.
Okay, let's stop there.
All right. Thanks.
That's it for this podcast of Speakers Forum. You can hear the full version on our website, kuow.org/speakersforum. Lauren Weedman spoke at Town Hall Seattle on March 17th. Thanks again to Anna Tatashev for our recording. Tune in again soon for more from Speakers Forum.